Hello, EC Grace. Well, I'm back from vacation. I want to thank you for the last 2 weeks, just allowing myself and Shannon and the family to go on vacation, providing for us to do such a thing. We had a great time of relaxation, a great time of just kicking back and enjoying each other's company, a great time to, of spiritual growth, being in the Word. And there was days we even sang songs to the Lord together. But we had a great time. We were at the beach. We were in great waves. We had just a tremendous time of fellowship and relaxation. I want to thank Pastor Tom for filling in. I hope you've been enjoying his series, Faith in Real Life. I know that we gathered around the TV Sunday in Florida and tuned in and just sang along to the praise and worship and listened to the message and were blessed that day. And since, looking at his 4 points of faith last week. We're back in the series, Moses and the Plan of God. We're going to be completing this series by the end of August, and we're going to start going into the book of Acts. So start reading Acts now. Start reading it through and through. Read it through as many times as you can so that the Holy Spirit can already start working in your life through that book as we will be going there. But I'm excited to continue on in the series Moses and the Plan of God. In our study of Moses and the Plan of God, if you remember, we have looked at Moses in the basket, Moses by the well, Moses at the bush, Moses in the court, Moses under the doorpost, and Moses at the sea. But before moving on to the next stage in Moses' life, in the Plan of God, which will be Moses in the wilderness next week, today we will look at Moses and the song, Moses and the song. I'd like to pause this morning to look at the next stage, from looking at the next stage in his life, but looking at his first song recorded in Exodus 15. Moses wrote two other songs. You can see those or read them in Deuteronomy 32 and Psalm 90. This song that we're going to look at today may have been written or recorded over 6,000 years ago. But oh, how desperately we as believers need this theme today. And when its theme is in our hearts and when its theme is on our lips, we will find it to be a song that will enable us to soar over all the sorrows and all the sighs of life, all the trials and all the troubles of this present but passing world. You know, there is no pill, there is no quarantine made by man that can give you the peace of this song when this song is in your heart. Lord, I pray this morning that we will take these words that Moses has written through your Spirit, that we will apply them to our lives, that we will look at you, that we will have this song in our heart, that we will sing with praises to you, that we will live a life with a song flowing out of us for the world to hear. In your name we pray, amen. So as I read this passage, as I read this song, try to put yourself at the scene. You're standing on the banks of the Red Sea. You're standing on the banks of victory, watching God drown the Egyptian army. The power that had enslaved you for four centuries is crushed. The Egyptian army, chariots and all, vanished under the sea. And you're standing there with a sea, looking back, saying, "What just happened?" And now you're free. You're free at last, and a new life is beginning. Exodus 15, 1 through 18. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider has been hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea, and the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send forth your burning anger, and it consumes them as chaff. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flowing waters stood up like a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword, my hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab trembling grips them. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. By the greatness of your arm, they are motionless as stone. Until your people pass over, O Lord, until the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Wow. What a song. What words. We need to ask ourselves this morning, what should we see about this song? But first, what do you see right up front about this song? Notice, right away, this is a song to the Lord. It's a song to the Lord and to him alone. It's a song to God. It's all about him, what he has done and what he will do. Look at this slide coming up. His specific name, Lord, is used 12 times, and he is referred to over 40 times in this song. You know, the greatest songs are not about us, but they're about the Lord and what he has done for us. So in our flyover mode this morning, let's look briefly at the major elements of this song to the Lord. First, it's a song about the deliverance the Lord has been to them, verses 3 through 12. The deliverance the Lord has been to them. You know, Pharaoh's army, representing the Egyptian Empire that held Israel captive for so long, is twice referred to as an enemy in verse 6 and verse 9. Not just of God's people, but of God himself in 6 and 7. Look again with me at verses 9 through 11. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword. My hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? Well, it's a rhetorical question. No one is. Here God reveals to us the thoughts and intentions of Pharaoh's heart. Look at the four I wills. Look at that pompous pride. Look at those words. My desire will be satisfied, and my hand shall destroy them. The arrogance of man in the face of God. But God, whose right hand is majestic in power, verse 6, whose character is majestic in holiness, verse 11, simply with a blast from his nostrils, parted the Red Sea. And with the breath from his mouth, covered the sea over them. And they, in all their pride and arrogance, went down like a stone, verse 5, and sank like lead in verse 10. Israel, who were they? They were helpless. Helpless to deliver themselves from slavery and facing a hopeless future, were miraculously delivered by God and God alone. What was impossible for them to do in their own strength, God, who is majestic in power, verse 6, did for them. God did what they could not do. And Moses said, I will sing to the Lord. Next, we will see it is a song about the guidance the Lord gives to them. Verse 13 through 16. We'll read that again as well. In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab, trembling, grips them. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. By the greatness of your arm, they are motionless as stone until your people pass over, O Lord, until the people pass over whom you have purchased. So the song now takes a turn. It takes a turn from what God has done to what God will do and speaks of it as already done. Notice that. Here's what God has done. Here's what God will do and speaks of it as if it's already completed. This we call prophetic perfects. These are prophetic perfects describing future events as if they've already taken place. Look in verse 13. God in his loving kindness will lead them whom he has freed and guide them to his holy habitation, the promised land. They're not there yet, but it's spoken of as done. In verse 14 and 16, it refers to the effect on the people that Israel's going to encounter when they hear the news that Israel's God wiped out the powerful Egyptian army, and it's spoken of as already done. If you look at Joshua 2, 9 through 11, 40 years later, you will see this. Do you remember when we looked at Rahab, we saw that indeed the terror of the Lord had preceded their arrival. Their hearts were melted, the Bible said, at Israel's arrival, we are told, just like this song said 40 years prior. What's amazing here is God did not leave Israel standing on the banks of the Red Sea with nowhere to go. He didn't just save them and leave them there. He was going to be with them and guide them every step of the way. Look what it tells us. He had redeemed them, verse 13. He purchased them, verse 16. And he was not just going to leave them. They will pass over, verse 16, no matter what those obstacles are, and they will arrive at his final destination for them. They will arrive to the promised land. They've been redeemed, they've been purchased, and they will pass over. And Moses said, I will sing to the Lord. Third, it's a song about the inheritance the Lord promised them. Look at verses 17 through 18. You will bring them and plant. plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. The place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Do you remember in Exodus 32:13? It says, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by yourself, and you said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land which I have spoken, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. You see, God said in verse 17 here of chapter 15, God will plant them in a real place. This word plant or planting speaks of permanence. Israel will go through the wilderness, but they will come to their promised inheritance where God will dwell. How will he dwell there? Manifesting his presence progressively in the tent of meeting, in the tabernacle, in the temple to come. Moses speaks of this again in Deuteronomy 4:21, where he speaks that God is giving the people the land as their inheritance. You know, in Israel's history to come, God will himself temporarily uproot Israel from their land for their idolatry and disobedience. You'll see that later on in the Word. But you know, one day, the spiritually redeemed Israel, God promises this. I will also plant them on their land, and they will not again be rooted out from their land which I have given them, says the Lord your God. Amos 9:15. Just like we can believe that in Exodus, we can believe that now. Whatever God promises, he will do. Imagine that. Here's Israel, from laborers to landowners, from slavery to prosperity. And Moses says, I will sing to the Lord. Notice something in chapter 15, verse 18. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. That line right there should bring joy to your hearts no matter what's going on in your life today. There is a coming a day when all the arrogance, all the pride and rebellion of man against God as pictured in Pharaoh, verse 9, will be shut down as quickly and easily as the Egyptian army was. You know, Psalm 2:1-4 says that God sits in heaven. Imagine this. God sits in heaven and laughs and scoffs at the puny and pitiful efforts of mankind to defy him. We may see all around us today rebellion against God, people defying God, but do not worry. God is not tricked. God sees all, and he laughs and scoffs at that person who tries to defy him. But one day, for those who will not worship him with reverence and do homage to the Son, the laugh will turn to wrath in Psalm 2:12. We can trust in the Lord that one day he'll make all things right. So what does this mean for you? What does this mean for us? As we have said before, God's redemption of Israel from Egypt is only a foreshadowing of his greater plan of redemption for mankind. If Israel could sing about their temporal redemption, how much more should we sing about our spiritual redemption in Jesus Christ? I mean, should we not be singing from the rooftops? Have we not also been delivered? As Moses said, should we not say, I will sing to the Lord? Israel's deliverance happened only as a result of God's awesome, miraculous power. That and that alone. Had not God not taken the initiative to overthrow the Egyptians, Israel would have remained in slavery and death. They had no power of their own to deliver themselves. What can you say equally of your salvation? We can start by saying, it's a miracle. Your salvation equally is a miracle. Your salvation is a miracle. Do you see it that way? The disciples once asked Jesus, who then can be saved? Jesus replied, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Romans 5:6 says, before our salvation, we were helpless to save ourselves. Helpless to save ourselves. There was nothing we could do. Had not God, through the Holy Spirit, opened up our eyes, blinded by the god of this world, Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and made us alive when we were all dead in our sins, Ephesians 2:1, we would not only still be under the power of the enemy, the evil one, but we would still be enemies of God, Romans 5:10, and headed for an eternal, hopeless hell. Do we not have something to sing about? We do. Another remembrance. Is he not our guide? As Moses said, should we not say, I will sing to the Lord? You know, our Lord did not save us and leave us either, but he is with us to guide us safely home, just like he was with Israel to guide them each and every step of the way. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. There it is, forever and ever. And the Lord reigns forever and ever. And this reigning Lord will guide you and take you safely home. Praise God. We too, just like Israel, will pass over every foe, will pass over every failure with our Lord at our side, and he will carry us home. In the song, he will carry you, it says, there is no problem that he cannot solve. There is no sorrow that he cannot soothe it. There is no storm that he cannot calm it, and there is no mountain that he cannot move it. You see, the bottom line, and this may seem superficial and easy, and we hear it all the time, but it is truth. Truth does not have to be difficult, but it must be followed, and it must be believed, and it must be obeyed, for our responsibility is to trust and obey. Just as you were reminded a few weeks ago in Pastor Tom's sermon, that we needed faith in real life is to trust and obey. Just as we've been seeing in this series and every other series, this common theme keeps coming up. Trust the Lord and obey him. Trust the Lord and obey him. He's got a plan for us. We need not worry. You can trust the Lord and you can obey him through the Spirit's power. Even now, in our current societal circumstances, even now, if you're quarantining, even now with COVID, even now with fake news, real news, half-truths, lies, truth, who knows? But can you obey him? Can you trust him? Can you conquer your fear? You can. For one day we will be brought safely home to glory one day. Another remembrance, do we not have an inheritance? As Moses said, should we not say, I will sing to the Lord? Ephesians 1:11 says, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. We have obtained an inheritance. You know, when you turn to the Bible and you start reading about your inheritance as a child of God, you better put on your spiritual sunglasses because it is bright. It is bright. But even what we read about heaven and eternity in the Word, what God has revealed does not say it all. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2:9, referring to Isaiah 64:4, Isaiah 65:17. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Imagine that. You know, when the Queen of Sheba visited Solomon and heard his wisdom and she saw his prosperity, she sat back and said, there was no more spirit in her, the Bible says of her. And this is what she said to the king. I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. 1 Kings 10:1-7. Jesus, speaking of himself and his kingdom, said to the unbelieving Jews this, something greater than Solomon is here. Matthew 12 and Luke 11. One day, you and I will meet King Jesus and dwell with him forever, and surely we will say with wondrous joy, the half was not told me. What? The half was not told me. Considering these things, should we not say in our hearts as Moses did, I will sing to the Lord, I will praise him, I will extol him? Should not our hearts sing these very words? The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. Did you know that one day we will all sing this song without hesitation or reservation, found in Revelation 15:3? And it says, and they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Can you picture that? Can you imagine one day us standing there singing that song? Well, we will. We will be there together. We will sing that. Can you imagine when that becomes reality? But why is it that some believers cannot find this song in their heart? Why is it that some believers cannot even sing, let alone with a smile on their face? Trials and troubles, fears and anxieties, complacency, and the world have stifled the song. Where is the revival in the church to shake up the world today? Where is the revival in the church to go out into the world and preach the gospel? Where is the revival in the church to live for Jesus Christ, no matter how tough that may be, no matter how politically incorrect that may be? Where is the church today? Where is the revival that brings us together in prayer, singing and shouting praises to God, giving him all the glory? Remember, as we saw in the Blessed Life series, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Where is that song today? Where is the happiness? Where is the thrill of victory in Jesus? Perhaps we need to step back. Perhaps we need a lark lesson. Say what, Pastor? Yeah, a lark lesson. Have you ever heard the phrase, happy as a lark? The Encyclopedia Britannica says larks are birds known for their liquid flute-like song, which is sounded on wing or while soaring. The interesting thing about the lark is that it will not sing while sitting on its nest. But when it leaves its nest and begins to fly heavenward, the lark begins to sing. In fact, the higher it ascends, the louder and sweeter becomes its song. You can always tell when a lark begins to descend because its song becomes softer and softer. The closer it comes to earth, the less it sings. And when it returns to its nest, it ceases to sing at all. The lesson of the lark is obvious. Our song will also diminish as we restrict our thoughts to the nest of this world and our sin natures, and to the depressing circumstances of this earthly existence. As the lark has no song sitting on its nest, it also has no song as it runs along the ground searching for food. Only when it leaves the nest, only when it leaves the ground to fly and soar, does it sing. As we run along this earth making our way, as we sit in our homes quarantining ourselves, overridden with fear of our surroundings, as we all are wearing masks everywhere, looking back and forth, who's going to make us sick? As we go about gathering our stuff, making a living, doing church, we can get all wrapped up in our weaknesses, our failures, our sins. We can be overburdened with the trials and the fear of the day. All the evil conflict and violence going on in the world, all the political strife and turmoil, and all the bad that we see. And that can ground the believer if they keep their eyes on those things. You see, like the lark, we need to get off the ground and start flying again. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, we need to set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Yeah, the picture you are seeing right now, you may say, whew, that's a little extreme. But the truth is, flying high for the Lord in living and flying high for the Lord in song is far from extreme. It should be the natural. It should be the normal. We hear so much today this phrase, the new normal. But spiritual flying should be our normal. And if that's not your normal, that needs to be your new normal. We need to do some things. Let me challenge you to draw near to God and start thinking and thanking God for your exalted standing in Jesus Christ. Focus on His saving grace, your miraculous salvation, His loving, continual presence in your life, your incredible future and glory, and that meeting with Him one day. Focus on those things and set your mind and your heart on these things, and begin soaring upwards. You will find your song. You will find your song. Let's center our attention on the Lord and all that He has done for us, all that He is doing for us, and all that He will do for us. Just like we saw here in this song from Moses. Then, when our spirits are soaring and we gain a new heavenly perspective that, as I said in the opening, will put a song in our hearts, it will put a song on our lips that will enable you to soar over all your sorrows, all your sighs, all the trials, all the troubles, all the fears in this present but very ever passing world. For you have a greater picture than that. You have an eternal future with Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question today. How strong is your song? How strong is your song? If it is weak, perhaps you are flying too close to the ground. If it is weak, you are too earthly minded. As the hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes to the Lord. This morning, we are going to turn our eyes and hearts towards our God and Savior Jesus. As the church goes home, and as you are at home, and celebrate our Lord in the communion service, which reminds us of our Lord's past ministry, His present ministry, and future ministry in our wonderful salvation. This slide is going to stay on the screen for you to familiarize and remember the communion service while I go on. Just as God gave Israel the ordinance of Passover so that they might always remember their deliverance from bondage through the blood of the sacrificial lamb, so the church has been given the communion service to remind us again of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who gave Himself for our sins that He might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Galatians 1:4. Remember, you also are in the plan of God. Your truthful answer to how strong is your song directly correlates to how centered and submissive you are to the Lord's plan for you. I pray for you. Please pray for me. Keep praying for one another that we not only find our song, but that we sing it loud, that we sing it loud from our lips as we sing and give God praise and glory, that we sing it from hearts that sing for what He has done for us in our past, how He's rescued us and paid the price for sin, how right now in our present He continues to sanctify us by washing us with His word, and how one day He will bring us home to glory as we celebrate the wedding supper of the Lamb. We have so much to sing about. Do we not have so much to sing about? Live it. Live it in your life. Let your neighbors see it. Live it out for the Lord in your private time, in your community time, in all your time. Sing unto the Lord from a heart that sings to Him, and sing unto Him as we gather together and sing, and have a wonderful, wonderful communion service today in your home as you remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you, EC Grace. I can't wait to see you soon, and I hope to see you soon here. Until then, let's keep praying for one another. God bless. Have a great day.